episode number 19 of Girl Fight. My name is Nicole Tanner, and I am your host. Today, I am joined by Dana Jungward.
Hi.
Megan Sullivan.
Hello.
And Christine Steimer.
Oh, hi there.
Jess isn't joining us today because her voice is practically gone.
She sounds so different.
Although she sounds like Kathleen
come now,
Turner.
Then it would be like some brand new person's on the podcast. Yeah. Nobody would recognize her voice.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah. So she's trying to spare her voice a little bit so we can understand that. Other housekeeping stuff. PAX is coming up. It's next weekend.
Woohoo!
Yay!
That's so crazy. I can't believe that it's already second September next week.
Yes.
I'm just flies by.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, as we've said before, our panel is at 8 o'clock on Friday night in the Serpent Theater. We will be doing some sort of meet and greet hangout thing afterwards. We don't have all the details squared away on that yet, but we will definitely post that on our Facebook page and whatnot.
And on IGN, we'll probably mention it.
I had a really weird dream about this last night, actually.
Really?
So we're going to PAX. We're all there in Seattle, but then we're like getting ready to go to the place, and we can't find Jess. And it turns out that Jess has gone to the butterfly exhibit. I don't know why.
Because that's what she
would
do.
Like, that was why she... And then when we found her, I don't know why the hell we would go to the butterfly exhibit in the first place. But that's, you know... Oh, there she is. Why are you here? Oh, this is what I came here to do this weekend.
Oh my gosh.
Like, what? And then I woke up and I was like, that was really strange.
Yeah. That's, yeah. That's
so she
awesome.
Doesn't show up to the panel on
we
Friday.
We need to go find the
butterfly exhibit.
Yeah, okay. So if you're coming to PAX, definitely show up at our panel and then come hang out with us afterwards. And it won't be just us. It'll be everybody who's up there from IGN. So
that'll be like Scott Bromley,
Greg Miller, Ryan Scott, Anthony Gallegos, Arthur. Yeah, so all those guys will be involved.
We'll all be together.
Yes.
Happy family.
Yeah.
Quick love.
Quick little news update also before we get things started. So the Supreme Court case about selling violent games to kids has a hearing date now. It will happen on Tuesday, November 2nd. That doesn't mean that
Election Day.
That doesn't mean that that is the day that it will be decided. That's just the day that it's being argued. And there are two specific questions that the court will be answering. Number one, does the First Amendment bar a state from restricting the sale of violent games to minors? And number two, if the First Amendment applies to violent video games that are sold to minors, and the standard of review is strict scrutiny under Turner Broadcasting System Incorporated versus FCC, which I'm not completely familiar with that case, is the state required to demonstrate a direct causal link between violent video games and physical and psychological harm to minors before the state can prohibit the sale of the games to minors? So,
God,
so tired legal
of
jargon is so boring.
Yeah.
I'm also tired of people.
So basically, you know, the first question is, are games covered by the First Amendment? The second question is,
I hope so.
If they are, then
they should be.
Then why would they? Yeah.
Then the state would have to prove actual harm,
right?
Done, which they're not going to be able
gonna
to do.
It's going to be really hard. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Hopefully.
So that's the update on that. So we'll keep you posted as developments happen. So let's get started like we always do with what we're playing. How about Christine starts? Because I know you were looking at something.
Yeah, they didn't let me play it, which was very sad. I thought I was going to get to. But Costume Quest, which is Tim Schafer's...
Yay, Tim Schafer!
Yay! One of his his company's new games. He did the writing on it. So
cool.
One of the funniest people in this industry.
Yes. There was a line where I LOL'd.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yay.
Yeah, exactly. And that's always one of those things where you know, when you go into it and you know it's supposed to be funny or a little bit like,
God,
I hope I laugh at something. Or, you know, like, but I did. So that was good.
Right. Yeah.
My whole blurb on it will be up tomorrow around 6 p.m. Pacific time. So
cool.
Should you care to learn more about that, then you can read it. Yay!
Excellent.
Also, for you know what I'm actually playing is Mafia 2. I'm like chapter 6 in that, I think, maybe 7, 8.
And what are you thinking of it?
I think it's fine. And that's just one of those games where you're like, all right, I can shoot people. That's fun.
Yeah.
Are you playing on 360?
That's fun.
Yeah. Okay, because I saw you online last night.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's one of those games where you're not super, I'm not super passionate about it. So.
Yeah.
It's just kind of something fun to do while I have no other games that I want to play.
Right.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yep.
How about you, Megan?
I spent a lot of my weekend banging on my laptop because I've had it for a few weeks, but I finally installed the original Neverwinter Nights. Mm-hmm. Of course, because it's a bio game. A BioWare game, sorry. Mm-hmm. And I'm not used to computer games, so the interface was kind of driving me crazy for a while. So I kept dying and having to respawn because I wasn't acting fast enough, or had to highlight this and click this. And
yeah, and that's not a lightweight little game to cut your teeth on.
And I'll tell you this. I know nothing about Dungeons & Dragons, making it even more difficult. So yeah. I'm referring in the instruction manual to D20, and I'd be like, what? What the hell does that mean? Yeah. What is D20?
20-sided die. Yeah. Come on.
I don't know. I've never played Dungeons and Dragons. And for an RPG fan, I'm sure that sounds strange, but I'm not that nerdy. So I was kind of lost.
Oh, snap.
Roll it down.
Yeah, take that, nerd. I'm a geek, not a nerd. So, yeah, so I played that. And I actually pre-ordered Harvest Moon Grand Bazaar, which I meant to pick up last night and didn't get a chance to. So I will today. And in the meantime, I played Wedding Dash DS, which is a surprisingly challenging game once you get to, like, the second or third tier. We were just like, this is ridiculous and out of control. So,
well, and I would say with those time management games, I find them much harder on the DS because it's a lot smaller space to hit things on. Like, I played Cake Mania on the DS versus the PC version, and like, I kept making so many accidental mistakes. Like, I'm like, no, that's not what I was
hitting.
Well,
there'd be a bridesmaid cat fight right next to the, you know, the DJ station where the sound system was breaking, next to the guy who's getting drunk. So I'd always be hitting one thing and I meant to hit the other, and it is a time management game, so I'm wasting time. So I'd spend a lot of cursing. So, yeah, but it's actually a fun game, and I recommend it, especially, again, if it's one of those travel games. It's like, you know, Diner Dash and all those Dash games.
Just not in a bumpy vehicle.
Yeah, not in a bumpy vehicle.
Or in an area that cursing might be frowned
on. Yeah, but like an airplane. You will start cursing because you'll get frustrated as it gets more fast-paced and it gets more hectic. So.
It could be, man, I was behind a guy yesterday when I was on my way to work, and I was walking on the sidewalk, and he looked at his smartphone. I mean, he looked like a normal guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he saw on his phone, but like for the next, because it was a whole half a block I was behind him before I finally veered up, and it was just F-bomb this, F-bomb that, like just like, and like, you know, like, and just like
just walking down the street.
Yeah, just walking down the street. And like we whacked a wall of a building at one point. And
oh,
I was
my
just
God.
Like shrinking back, like, please don't slow down.
Yeah.
Because you're between me and coffee.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe he'd been playing a smartphone version of one of the Dash
sort of
games.
Maybe. Or, I don't know if Farmville is on anything but Facebook, but maybe his crops died.
Yeah. Who knows? How about you, Dana?
I, too, did a little bit of it. I feel like I'm getting very influenced by listening to what other people say, because Nicole was talking yesterday about having played Wedding Dash forever. Mm-hmm. So then that inspired me to go play a little Cake Mania last night, which... I mean, they are fun games, and they're definitely very challenging. People who write them off as, like, baby stuff have obviously never tried them out. But I can't play them for very long because they do stress me out.
they do. They're stressful.
Yeah. And then I also played a little bit more Limbo. The spider legs are still creepy. Not
oh my
very
God.
Far. The spider legs. I really can't play it for longer than, like, a half hour at a time because those legs just, like, they're really creepy.
Well,
they're
once you get past an area, there's not any more spiders.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Eventually, the spider will go bye-bye.
I can't pass the one. I got plus the pace. Well, where you're rolling the body around. Okay.
Yeah, that's really close to the end of the spider place.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see one lurking in the background up ahead, but I hit another point where I'm a bad platformer person, so like I always have to retry that. And last night I just hit a point where I know what I need to do, and I just kept screwing it up. And I was like, all right, I gotta walk away.
And I'm like, I've already figured out the puzzle, I just can't execute it
right.
Yeah. And it's
so I put that down. And I also downloaded and started playing the newest Magic the Gathering game that's on PC and 360. Yeah.
Is this for work or was this for pleasure?
For pleasure.
Really?
Yeah. I really like card-based battling stuff. I'm not very good, God, and I'm not hardcore. Yeah, I'm not a hardcore person. So like, I can't ever play against other people, because people who actually play those games just wipe the floor with me, and it's not any fun.
Know yeah, so much more.
But so a friend, Jeff Green, was on the What They Play podcast with Nicole and I yesterday, mm-hmm. and so he was talking about it and saying the nice thing about this one is that, like, you can't, like, the decks are, there's no deck building in it, which is a good thing for those of us who are a little bit more casual. And you can also earn every card that's available, so you don't have to pay any money beyond the, you know, upfront cost of the game, which is also nice, because those things can get really pricey just as far as. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been fun.
Although
the intro battles, I have to say, are more challenging than I thought. Although I am not the only person who thought so. I felt a little bit better after I got some verification that I wasn't alone in that. But yeah, that's been enjoyable.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, me, as Dana mentioned, I played through Wedding Dash Forever. I'll probably play some more of it, because, as noted, I did not get expert score on every single level, and I am obsessive about getting expert score in those games. It's definitely, in my opinion, the best Dash game that has been released thus far.
Oh, wow.
It's the most challenging.
That's high praise.
It's got the most going on in it. I don't pay that much attention to the story in those games, but, you know.
There's not really a story.
But the funny thing is,
outline.
Yeah, the funny thing is, though, when I went and interviewed PlayFirst last year, they told me that, like, most of the feedback that they get from their, like, hardcore casual players is how much they love the story and the characters, which kind of blows my mind a little bit.
To be fair, though, in Wedding Dash, when I was playing on the DS, I actually accidentally skipped one of the scenes where apparently the girl is on a date, and I got all mad. I was like, I want to know what happens. Her date is somehow interrupted for more wedding stuff, but I still wanted to know, and it's like, but there's, you know, that's not going to go anywhere. It's not a story thread that keeps going.
Yeah. Well, the other cool thing, if that would happen to you in Wedding Dash Forever, is the in between the venues, there's like a little comic booky type story, but you can go back and look at those whenever you want to throughout the game. So it's very cool. If you like time management games, it's definitely cool. If that's not your thing, you're not going to like it. And any guys that are scared about playing girly games probably won't like it either.
Because
you're a wedding planner. Yeah. With some really horrendous wedding guests, I might add.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Drunks and catfights and all that stuff.
Well, in the PC ones, now you've got an aunt who brings her dog.
Oh, nice.
To the reception, and the dog runs away, and then she gets all upset. You have to calm her down. Find the dog and give it back to her.
Ugh.
And also, the other big thing in this one is, in the previous games, the bride and groom, they've been at the wedding, but they've been pretty, like,
peripheral.
Stationary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not in Wedding Dash 4. The bride and the groom are completely involved. They have seating requests, and they need their food, just like everybody else. And then
that's fair.
Yeah,
brides and grooms really need to be able to eat at their own wedding, and it often doesn't happen.
In addition to that, the guests can now request to have the bride and groom kiss, and also to have their picture taken with the bride and groom, which involves dragging the bride and groom to where they need to be with the guests and all this. Yeah, it's nuts. It's crazy. Some of the levels in the last venue, I actually had to try more than once. And I never usually have to do that. I mean, to reach the initial goal. So it's really cool. Other stuff I've been playing, iPet, though I can't talk about it. We'll have more info on that next week.
We can confirm it is cute.
Yes.
And we can also confirm that it is the Machichi for those of you who are of a certain age, which I just looked up a photo of, and I'm like, yep, the iPet is Machichi.
So cute.
And I also finished Drawn Dark Flight, which is also embargoed until next week, but I'll have a review of that going up
next week, because I have to leave in a couple of minutes anyway. Can we just say how excited I am about the new Dragon Age DLC? And I have not been excited for any of them up until this point.
Yeah. Cool.
Although I have to say, this was just confirmed that this might be the last DLC.
It is the last.
So there's no Alistair DLC, which I am a little upset about. But at least
if you were a human noble, you could marry him.
Right. But if you were like an
elf or anything else,
you couldn't. Yeah.
Because, well, I don't know. That's just another issue altogether. But Morgan was my favorite character. She was the one I romanced. I knocked her up, I think. So I'm very excited to see what happens with her. And I'm like, oh, this is something that will actually get me to go back and play. Whereas, they've released so many
kind of
expansions and things that I've just been not interested
in. I haven't played any of them actually.
I want to. Yeah. I want the option to fight her because I didn't. We didn't end things well where she had this crazy plan and I told her to take a hike. And she
that's
did.
The way mine ended as well. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe you'll run into her in the second one.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's some people are worried that maybe this DLC is kind of like a wrap up, so that they don't have to deal with it in Dragon Age 2.
Well, I think it would be people are expecting maybe Dragon Age 2 to be a little bit more Mass Effect-y than it is. Like having your save carryover isn't going to. It's a completely different story. It's completely different characters.
Yeah,
a few of the people from Origins will pop up, but it's, you know, it's not really clear. Right. It's probably gonna be more like if you played Mass Effect 1, Mass Effect 2, it'd be like if you let Rex live. Like he's still there, but he's just, you know, the king or whatever of this particular group.
Right.
And not really super influential on the rest of the story.
Hence his name is Rex.
Rex. Yeah. Exactly. I love Rex.
Yeah.
But at least BioWare is.
But I mean, it would be cool if you run into Morrigan, because no matter what decision you make, she's not dead. She's still around.
She's still around
doing whatever.
Well, we know we already run into Flemeth.
Yeah.
So hopefully we will also run into Miss Morrigan, because I really liked her.
Yeah.
But before
you
got to
see how your
topical,
kid's looking.
What? Oh yeah, exactly. I would like to see my child. That
visitation rights, lady.
I'm going to say the B word. That bitch took my kid, said she loved me, and left. And I was like, wait, but no. I made this really hot character too. How could you leave him? it was very sad for me.
Okay.
But I'm going to pop out because I'm going to go see Deathspank Thongs of Virtue.
Because you are just, it is me visiting with Monkey Island Vets Day.
That is the most hilarious title.
I know, I love it.
Thongs of Virtue.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys know later. I'm not sure when the embargo is, but probably tomorrow.
Sometime.
Keep an eye out for it.
Alrighty.
Bye.
Cool.
Bye.
So we are going to then move into our topic of the week. As noted on our Facebook page, topic is about the fact that you can play as the Taliban in the upcoming Medal of Honor game. And some people are not too cool with that. One of which being Karen Meredith, who she's a local woman actually here in the Bay Area. Her son, unfortunately, was killed in Iraq in 2004, and she's been speaking out very vocally about the fact that you can play as the Taliban. She was on Fox News, which, and an amazing for Fox News, the reporter that interviewed her was actually very objective.
Wow.
Yeah. I know.
Didn't expect that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was shocked. He brought up the fact that the average age of a gamer is in 30s and that, you know, shouldn't people be able to entertain themselves however
they
want.
Maybe
they
learned from the Mass Effect debacle.
Maybe. I was quite impressed with that report.
Way to go, sister company.
Yeah, finally. But she also did an interview with the San Jose Mercury News. I'm just going to read a quick quote from her. She says, "I don't see how shooting soldiers based on real Americans is entertainment while people are dying every day for this country. How can they say it's okay for someone to play the Taliban? You have people sitting at home drinking beer, shooting at American soldiers, maybe missing, then starting over. Well, Ken, who is her son, didn't have a chance to start over." That's one part of the story. The other part is that the UK Defense Secretary, Liam Fox, his name is Fox, very ironically, is
a theme.
Yeah, he is calling for the game to outright be banned in the UK because it is un-British. That is his actual quote. And so that's the deal there. And so that's what's been going on. It seems like every couple days there's been something new added to this story. So that's why I thought it would be good to tackle. So.
Yeah.
What do we think?
You know, I'm just going back to the mother who's there, you know, and as a parent, like I can't imagine being in her situation. And I'm sure, you know, if God forbid, you know, anything tragic ever happened to my child, I'm sure if any form of entertainment that I saw that was built somehow around that, it would.
Yeah.
Like I would, you know, it's definitely wrong. And this is something, and she's right in that. The majority of the people who play a game like this are going to do it, you know, just in the spirit of entertainment and not really think about kind of the real life events behind it. And it's easy for all of us to, not all of us, but the majority of us who live here, you know, they're our armed forces and, you know, are facing very, very serious things. It just, you start getting into really, really slippery slopes when you ban things. I don't love the thought of it. I kind of wish, you know, I understand EA's defense, blah, blah, blah. It's just for multiplayer, whatever. And I understand their logic. I don't like that they're doing it, and I don't like that it exists. But, you know, there's a lot of entertainment out there that I don't like and I don't agree with, but I don't know that.
Yeah, I can.
That means it should be.
You know, I can also relate directly to what you were just saying about any type of entertainment bothering someone who's gone through a trauma. I'm going to get personal here. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
So last year I had a miscarriage. And so now anytime I see anything having to do with babies or pregnancy, and you know what? That shit is everywhere.
Yeah.
Which you never even realize until you look at it. And, you know, lots of succumbs make fun of pregnancy and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. And, like, I sit there and look at it. It's like, ugh, you know, like, I got to see this again. But at the same time, I understand that that's me. That's my personal reaction, which is an understandable reaction. But not everybody is going to feel that way. So I, you know, I don't feel the right to go out and say, well, Sitcoms should stop making fun of pregnancy because it hurts my feelings.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, that's a very simplistic way to put it, but I mean, I think it's very similar to what this woman is going through. I can totally understand how she feels when something like this comes up. I mean, yeah, especially if it's very fresh, because it's like, it's almost like an affront to what happened to her.
And losing your child is really one of the most awful things that I could think of happening to someone.
Yeah. I mean, it's terribly traumatic.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, again, like you said, slippery slope. I mean, you know, bad things happen in life. And if we shy away from those things, then I don't think we ever really grow as people.
And you start banning stuff, and then where does the line go?
Right. Yeah. It's like, yeah, what is the line, you know?
Although I have to say, this is not the first controversy that came up. There was another, I can't remember what the game was, or another company kind of had to sort of reconfigure their game because there was so much protest, and I questioned the wisdom.
Well, Six Days in Fallujah, which never came out, right?
No, it never came out.
Is that, because I know the developer was in financial trouble because they got dropped. Is it even still in development?
No, I don't think so. It got canceled basically because it was that, but also I think there was some protest, and I have to say that my eldest brother has served both in the Marines and the Army, and I actually
emailed both.
Him. He is hoorah.
Double. He is only two more to go.
Yeah, he is a patriotic and just you know, maybe
watch out, Navy and Air Force.
Yeah, no, he's coming. But so I can understand that it's, you know, it can hit really close to home, and you can make the argument. Some people make the argument, you know, other games you can play, like you can play the other side, you know, in the Civil War you can play the South, and World War II you can play, you know, Germany. But I think it's a little more convoluted in the sense that you were never able to play the SS. You never played Goebbels. You never played Mengele. You never did that.
You've been able to play as Nazis.
Nazis, but not, I mean, we're talking.
Right, not the.
Yeah, not the most notorious class A war criminals. Same with Japan, whereas the Taliban is different. Supposedly the reason we're in Afghanistan is because they attacked us on 9/11. So it's a lot. It's a fresh wound for a lot of people. There are people coming in body bags and paraplegics coming home every day from Afghanistan. It's getting uglier, and so I can't say that they don't have the right, but it just seems particularly insensitive where it's, you know, it's, this is not a game. And I've always had a problem with the Army sort of having advertisements where they make it look like being in the Army is a big fun computer game. We've got our Nintendo pilots, and you hit a button and boom, and you don't
they have a whole game that is used for it's a recruitment. America's Army,
so it's kind of like you know, it's a little bit of hypocrisy, but at the same time, this is a current issue where, you know, a lot of people are not supporting this war, and it almost makes light of it. Like, you know, it's fun, it's a game, and I can understand the slippery slope, but I just think it's just unwise and, quite frankly, insensitive because there are people who are dying and coming home more wounded than you could possibly imagine. And
I think it's incredibly insensitive and callous of EA, and it upsets me that they do that. And I know, yes, they can, you know, they can make their arguments, but on the flip side, it's like, you know, your demographic, you know that these are not in many, you know, people that a lot of the people who do this are not ever going to sit down and think about, you know, what's right. really behind it. And, but yeah, does that mean that we should flip around? And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which actually brings up something that I wanted to bring up too. Mm-hmm. There was a really great article on VG Charts where they talked to multiple military people who have served in the mm-hmm. recent conflicts and kind of got their thoughts on stuff. And it just brings up this one. It's really interesting read, VG Charts. Go look for it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to call out some of the stuff here, but it was really fascinating. They're kind of split. Most of them seem to say that they're not really bothered by it. Mm-hmm. And some of them are kind of on the fence, like, is it too soon? That mm-hmm, kind of right. thing. This one quote really stood out to me. It's from, they just have the last name here. Somebody whose last name is Roberts from the Army says, "It does not bother me. I think it is even a good idea because impressionable children play these games despite the often M rating. These children need to see that war is not a game, and putting a name to the enemies in places that are otherwise generic in other FPS titles presents the real brutality of war, not just the mindless simulated killing in modern warfare. I believe that children may eventually think that war and video games are one and the same, and indeed that would be tragic." So he's actually thinking the realism in this is going...
Yeah, know. I don't think so. I think as long yeah. as you can hit a restart button and, yeah. you know, yeah, 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 I don't, yeah. There are no actual repercussions in your daily life, no matter how realistic the blood and gore looks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you there. You know, at the same time, too, though, you know, going back to something that Megan said about mm-hmm. how you weren't able to play, like, specific war. As far as I know, you're not playing any specific actual yeah. people mm-hmm. in this
You don't
either.
Get to be Goebbels just... and go poison your children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but mm-hmm. I mean, you don't get to... I mean, in this case, yeah. it's not like you are playing Osama bin Laden.
Right.
You're not. You're, you know, well, he's right. Al-Qaeda, but, right. you know, Taliban.
Yeah.
yeah, now we're getting...
They hang out in the same caves.
Yeah.
jeez.
Sorry.
But yeah, so you're not, you know, you're not playing any of those right. specific... You know, people that we
But it's
know.
A little, again, it goes back to the fact that they're so, you know, nameless and they're so faceless anyway. And they're, you mm-hmm. know, they're constantly hiding behind women and children anyway. I can't think of any benefit of being, it's not like cops and robbers. It's, you know, it's something more current and something that's really incredibly sensitive to people. And there's no, I can't see the upside to being the Taliban at all other than, oh, let's play multiplayer. Someone has to be the bad guy. There has to be a thing where you could have like a training session. You know, like a practicing. Mm-hmm. So you're mm-hmm. Americans, but you're not killing each other, but you're having some sort mm-hmm. of practicing like you do in the army. Mm-hmm. We have a situation like that, and that would be your excuse for multiplayer. I just don't see the upside of specifically making it like the Taliban or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
There are ways to get around it. I feel like they almost wanted to do a
hot court the controversy. Machine. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of pulled yeah. a rock star where they're like, we, you know, could we do it? Should we do it? Well, pre-publicity, so.
Well,
yeah.
I mean... In this case, for the game that they are making, I don't think they could have gotten around it because the American characters in the game are based on real soldiers, and they, you know, mm-hmm. consulted with these soldiers when they were making the game. Like, even mm-hmm. the guy that's on the cover, you know, with the beard and the...
Right.
You know, like, they showed us...
Who looks like he's the guy from Mercenaries, too,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah.
But they don't have any kind of training session where they have, you know, like a... What is a word I'm looking for? It's totally going out the window for me. But
yeah, but I'm just saying, as mm-hmm. far as the story goes, mm-hmm. there mm-hmm. was no way around having the Taliban in this
game
because the story is about the war in Afghanistan. Well, I'm not saying that the multiplayer, they could have done something else.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I don't think they could have removed the Taliban altogether.
No, I wasn't asking them to do the Taliban. To play as the Taliban, though, seems like something they could have sort of somehow gotten around. And then you have story mode that does deal directly with the Taliban.
Yeah, but then it's not as real, Megan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I know. I'm with you. I think you're right. I hope it wasn't a calculated decision to do that to get more publicity, because then I find it even more shameful.
Yeah.
And if it is, whoever is the one who made that call,
you suck.
Yeah. I am keeping what I have to say inside my head because it's not nice.
Yeah, and there's some more quotes from these military mm-hmm. people that, you know, they're basically, you know, in the opposite to this person who thinks it's going to help kids mm-hmm. understand war, basically says that you know, is this controversial? Absolutely. There's always going to be a group of people who will find the most mundane topic offensive, which was kind of what I was saying. But especially
like all the people who protested
like
Bully when it came out.
Yeah. So I personally think that the people that are actually, this is a quote from this guy, it's not me. I personally think that the people that are actually going to play this game are going to play it because it's a new game in a long running series and not because they get to shoot and kill Americans.
Yes.
Yeah.
True.
So,
Yeah. No, and I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I mean, and the, you know, just back to the slippery slope thing, banning the game outright is stupid. Is it in poor taste? Yeah. I think that can definitely be argued, but like, you know, I mean, if we were banning based on what offended people,
right? I mean, we
then
had...
we should ban Dante's Inferno because I found that game offensive to
yes.
people who like literature.
Exactly. No, but it's...
English majors everywhere unite.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it's interesting because you know some people like it. Kind of goes back to you know banning things and changing things, mm-hmm. and you know it's sort of like we talked about. It's a bit of a tangent. We talked about how Cole was changed in Infamous 2 mm-hmm. and whether that was a good idea or bad idea and, you know, should developers and publishers stand their ground. But it just, it seems like in an issue like this, it seems mm-hmm. a little more clear cut
mm-hmm.
and it just seems like it hits a little closer to home and it's mm-hmm. sort of outside the gaming world, whereas Infamous is in a kind of cartoon world.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, where these Medal of Honor games are supposed to be super realistic.
Mm-hmm. Well, as with most things in America, capitalism seems to speak loudest. So yeah. Vote with your wallet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, well, we're part of this mm-hmm. too, but I don't yeah. have any problem promoting game, even if I'm not going to play it. But like the people that are speaking out and saying, oh, this is awful, mm-hmm. this should be banned, they're just going to make it sell more.
Yeah.
In the end, because people are going to be curious and want to see
yep.
what it's all about. So. Yep.
We'll see.
Free publicity for EA.
Yeah.
So we'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic.
Especially if you are in the armed forces.
Yes, for sure. So you said you talked to your brother. What did he have to say?
Oh, no, I haven't gotten a reply back to him yet. But okay. I did want to, I was hoping that I could be able to say something because he is in it. It'd be mm-hmm. interesting to see what he has to say.
You have to yeah. give an update.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I do have family, like, in the like, my mom had cousins and like, people who died in Vietnam. And even mm-hmm. to this day, mm-hmm. it's still traumatic. Like, people always joke on cartoons and stuff about Vietnam and flashbacks and trauma. But it still traumatizes the people that to this day. Mm-hmm. And so my mom heard this story. I was just horrified mm-hmm. because it mm-hmm. you know, even memories mm-hmm. from, you know, decades ago are still kind of with her. And so yeah. it bothered her quite a bit. So
yep. Yeah. Well, like I said, anybody that has personally gone through mm-hmm. something traumatic, whatever it may be, if something brings, you know, that topic up again,
right.
I mean, you can't help but get upset. That's just the way
right.
people function.
Right.
Or at least that's the way women function.
Yeah.
I can't
whatever with you guys.
I can't speak for the guys.
But if you want to defend EA and you think mm-hmm. that we're sort of off on this, go ahead and email us as well. What is our email for ours?
It's IGNGirlFight@gmail.com.
There you go. So sound off.
Yeah. And again, just to be clear, we are not saying that EA should, you know, not make the game or it should be banned. But basically, we think it's
kind of in poor taste.
Yeah. All right. And on that note, we're going to move on to questions.
Yay.
Whee.
As always, you can send questions to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. Our first question comes to us from Carl. Carl says, it seems like we do not appear to have any biases as opposed to platforms. And he wants to know if this is some weird female thing, or are we actually hiding our real preferences? And he goes on to say that he thinks Jess has her house decorated with Mario wallpaper, and that Dana sleeps in Master Chief pajamas.
That's funny, like a game, yeah, a franchise that I don't get
yeah.
the popularity of that he picks. I can honestly say I do not have any platform bias. If it's mm-hmm. a game that I enjoy playing, great. I will say that usually if a game is out on 360 and PS3, 360 is my default, but that's only because I have a lot more friends who mm-hmm. play stuff on the 360, but that's the only reason why. No, I'd say that, I use all platforms fairly equally. The Wii gets shortest shrift just because there's less on it that I feel like playing. But
yeah.
No, if it's a good game, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah, I'm the same way. I guess if you were going to hold a gun to my head and make me pick one, I would probably pick PS3, only because Sony exclusive stuff I love.
Sony does some really good exclusive stuff. Or I should say, Sony's exclusives are much more in line with my own personal gaming preferences. Yeah. Because Microsoft, the 360 has some great exclusives too, as does Nintendo. It's just,
yeah,
I get less excited about a new Super Mario Brothers, mm-hmm. or a Halo than I do an Uncharted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would actually, I would have to be honest and say that I am a bit of a PlayStation fanatic, mm-hmm. just because it seems to, all the games I seem to love over the years landed on that platform. Originally, mm-hmm. when I was really little, it used to be Nintendo had all the greatest games. So I was mm-hmm. a big Nintendo fangirl and subscribed to Nintendo Power and everything. But now it's sort of, ever since Final Fantasy VII, it's been consistently PlayStation. So, and I think that their machines just have really good quality overall, but, you know, that could change at any point, just depending mm-hmm. on how, you know, the next generation goes. So it's been consistently PlayStation, but we'll see.
Yeah. Alrighty. Next question comes to us from Corey. Corey says, as females working in the gaming industry, do you often find yourselves being pigeonholed as girl gamers as opposed to just gamers? And wants to know if you've ever encountered any double standards throughout our career because of this.
Not really.
I don't think so.
I think the only thing that happens is that, and I don't think it's a malicious thing or anything. I think it's just, I mean, we've all probably experienced this, that when it comes to time to pass out reviews, that we end up stuck with, you know, the girl targeted games. But then that is, you know, we are the ones who are in the target demo for those games. So it makes more sense for one of us to say review a Wii Fit or something like that than it does for Hillary.
Yes, exactly.
So, but I don't ever feel like anyone that I've ever worked with has been like, oh, you're a girl, so you would never want to play blah, blah, blah.
No, they seem so happy that you're a girl. You like games?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, too, I have a tendency to like the girly games, so mm-hmm. I'm more than happy to, to review them. Okay, so next question comes to us from Alfred. Alfred wants to know at what age we started gaming and on what system it was. For me, I was 5 years old, and it was the Vectrex.
I was 4, and it was the Atari 2600.
I was 28, and it was a PC.
There you go. I'm pretty sure Christine...
No, 27. Yeah, but whatever.
Christine and Jess both played as kids, too. So, yeah. All right. Next question comes to us from someone who didn't sign their email. CLVCClub9 wants to know, what are some art styles we would like to see explored in games, or some art styles that we think have been underused?
I'm a big sucker for anything. I like stylistic over realistic any day, just because you don't hit the, you know, there's the whole uncanny valley thing, which you haven't, if you haven't looked it up. I mean, you can look it up if you haven't ever heard that term, but you can get really, really close to looking almost real, but then there's like that weird like disconnect that the human figures aren't exactly right. And, you know, stylistic stuff can skirt around that. So, you know, I think about games like Sly Cooper or Okami or the Katamari games, and I just really, I mean, they're just pretty.
Yeah. I'm a huge Vanillaware fan, and they did like Muramasa and Odensu and everything, and they kind of revitalized like 2D gaming, because it was, you know, it's been going out of style, but they're such pretty, you know, lush colors, and when you play in the game, it's really enjoyable. And so I'm a big fan of Vanillaware for that.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that. The stylized stuff, I would like to see more of. And also, too, I don't know if this absolutely plays into art style, but I would love to just see different genres. Like, not all, you know, something without dragons and spaceships or, you know, like Heavy Rain is a perfect example.
Right.
It was a nice kind of suspenseful crime story set in, I mean, it's set in the future, a little bit.
Right, but it's not like, but it's not like centuries.
This is a totally random question. Is there a good game that lets you like ride dinosaurs and go into dinosaur battles? I'd like to see a game like that, actually. Not kidding.
Oh, you said dinosaur battles. I thought you said bottles. I'm like, I don't understand what she's talking about. There's a kid. Yeah. There's a kid. Ubisoft made a DS game, Monster Battle, or they do that. But yeah,
there's
that's
a horrible PS2 game.
I said,
and
good.
I'm allowed to say that it's horrible because my husband admits that it's horrible that he actually worked on. It was called Portal Runner, and it was from the Army Men franchise.
So poor 3DO.
Yeah, they took the girl character from the Army Men games, Vicky, because they thought like, oh, everybody loves Lara Croft. Let's just throw this
Vicky
in
up there.
Yeah, but she does go back in time and battle dinosaurs.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Or something like, what was it? Lore the Dragon game for PS3 that was terrible, but could have been cool because it was a cool concept.
Oh, you mean the one where you played as the dragon?
Laura, whatever.
Yeah, the controls were terrible.
Yeah, that's another thing where it's like, missed opportunity.
Yeah.
I'd love to have, like, that was online remake, battles.
And that was
like
a remake of an original PS1 game.
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Alrighty, next question comes to us from Jeff Chong. Jeff wants to know if we play our games totally isolated, like, do we just play the games, or do we play games and watch TV or do anything, other things, and also wants to know how many games we can play at once. I'm assuming, like, just...
Not simultaneously.
Yeah, like, not simultaneously. That'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You got your DS and your PSP in, like, both hands.
Like, I don't watch TV, sometimes I'll listen to the radio or something while I'm doing it. I play a lot of my games on mute. I don't listen to sound in a lot of them. And so I will do that. But I actually multitask things like watching TV a lot more than I do things like playing games. Yeah. Like when I'm watching TV, I almost always have my laptop open and I'm playing some mindless, like dumb little match 3 puzzle game at the same time.
Yeah.
I can't multitask for some reason when it comes to gaming. I have to, because when I get a new game, then I put the old game down and I focus on the new game. So like I should be playing more Red Dead because it's a great game, but I get kind of sidetracked with Neverwinter Nights and Wedding Dash and all these other games, and there's no reason for that. I mean, they're not even on the same systems. I can, you know, take my handheld to work and then come home and play Red Dead, but for some reason I have to focus on one game at a time and finish that game and then go on to the next one.
That's kind of what I am with any kind of linear story-driven game, but I will play other things like Wedding Dash or whatever at the same time as that because...
I jump around.
Sometimes I would get lost.
I jump around a lot.
What's going on?
But I will say that I think that part of the reason that I jump around a lot is because we are spoiled by our jobs in that we have access to pretty much any game we want. Because even if you know, without having to buy it, because you can almost always borrow. Someone in the office will have a copy to loan you, or you can borrow one from work. Mm-hmm. And I also just am really bad at finishing games. So there are a gazillion on there that I'm going to get back to you someday.
Yeah. Okay, next question comes to us from Tim. Tim says, portable gaming while in the bathroom, fair or foul?
I think it's disgusting, but I can't claim to be innocent.
Yeah, I can't claim to any. I typically don't do very much in the bathroom except for what is necessary to do in the bathroom. But, I mean, you know, it's no different than somebody reading in the bathroom.
Which I've also do. There you go. More than anyone needs to
know. I don't
know
if the bathtub counts, but I've sometimes taken my DS, like, when I'm taking a bubble bath or something, and I'll take my DS, and I'm like, you know, if I drop this, I'm going to be really upset or really dead. Yeah, I don't know why I do that, but...
And just on that point, that is the biggest drawback to an e-reader.
Yeah.
Is because I do read in the tub, and when I'm sitting there, I'm like, every time I'm like... Do I do it? If I drop it, I'm going to be really, really mad at myself.
Yeah.
I have done it, though, most times. Well, I haven't screwed up yet. That's why I've done it. Oh, that's why I keep doing it.
You haven't dropped it yet.
I haven't dropped it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Yeah,
tomorrow
I know.
Tomorrow morning, Dana's going to come in and be like, I dropped my e-reader. Okay. Next question comes to us from Adam. Adam wants to know if we can help him choose a system. He is thinking... a Wii for the family, but he says he really wants a PS3 and wants to know if we think the move on PS3 will be fun. If you haven't bought a Wii yet, I would say go for the PS3 in my opinion, because from what I have played of it, and I can't say a lot because, you know, everything's under embargo. We do have the move in the office now and we are playing it. It is much more accurate. than the Wiimote in kind of tracking. Mm-hmm. And I mean, again, it all comes down to software. I mean, iPad is going to be a great game for families. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're really looking for something that's all family oriented, then the Wii is obviously going to win out, because there's not a lot of family friendly stuff on PlayStation.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in and say, as someone who is not the biggest fan of the Move in the world, like, I have no plans to get one myself or play mm-hmm. it, but I would still opt for a PS3 just because you're not going to have nearly as wide a selection. But kids will play the same game forever.
Yeah.
And there are some great games that all the Lego games all come out on, or, you know, are all available on PS3, like Katamari, Little mm-hmm. Big Planet. Like, they could spend.
Well, yeah, and Little uh-huh. Big Planet is Little Big Planet 2 is right. going to have Move support. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So I kind of would go for that just because I think there's going to be, I mean, there are some really good games on the Wii, but a lot of the family targeted games on the Wii are really crappy.
Yeah.
They are really, really crappy.
Yeah,
and you can pick them up for $20, but it's just like they have no legs and no longevity. I'd go PS3.
I'm not sure if he's doing the thing like my family is going to get me a system, so I'm kind of leaning towards the Wii to sort of lock it in that I get some system, but I kind of really want the PlayStation 3 for myself.
Yeah, well, the other thing that obviously you've got going for you if you get a PS3 is it has a built-in Blu-ray mm-hmm. player,
so
which the Wii does not have.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Facebook, it's got, well, the Wii now has mm-hmm. Netflix as well. But I can't see the Wii expanding into a lot of the more multifunctional.
There's more HD options for mm-hmm. PS3.
Yeah.
And I'm just still, even all that stuff aside, I'm still saying, you know, just as far as the sheer number and quality of games. I don't know. My sister and her family opted for a PS3, and they have very young kids. And they, I think, are really happy with it. And you don't have to make kids play games targeted for kids.
Yeah,
you know, like, they do a lot of Little Big Planet. Like, she has a, mm-hmm. and she said her son really, really enjoys, you know, watching him do that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'd go PS3.
Yeah, I would too. Okay, next question comes to us from Giuseppe. Giuseppe read an article on G4 where the developers of Crackdown 2 were discussing the reasons why they did not include female character options in the game. And he says they chalked it up to the fact that the animations would require too much memory and time, and other aspects of the game would suffer for it, and that they also stated that if they had more money, then perhaps it would have been possible. And he says he finds these reasons to be unacceptable and insulting, and wants to know how we feel. Coming from the developer side, that is a completely valid answer for them to say.
Okay. I don't know enough about development to...
You know, the only way that it would not have been a big deal, time-wise, money-wise, etc., would be if they were using the exact same character model for a guy and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happens when you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Fable 2. You have hulking, ridiculous-looking women.
Yeah,
so
really weird. Like, I had to stay on a constant diet to not look like, you know, China from the WWE.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's the one thing that I would say, though. Then why not just make a static main character? Like, I just think if you're going to add character creation, and I'm not saying that that's not a legit reason what they put in there, but if you're going to do character creation, then it seems like you should give people, like, the full range of options. And otherwise, just make an actual good main character that people, you know, like Kratos or Nathan Drake or any of these.
Maybe they didn't have the money or time to come up with a character either.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
I'm missing this game got out.
I mean, you know, I think everybody has said that the story's not great there. So
yeah.
They were having enough trouble as it is. But, I mean, honestly, like, extra animations do take extra time. They do take extra money. And if you've got a limited amount of time, if you have to spend your time on something, that's time that's not being spent on something else. So that is a valid argument. All right. Next question comes to us from Simon. Simon wants to know which female characters in video games we feel provide strong role models for
Jade.
Female gamers.
Sorry.
Jade,
Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah. Jade is a good one. I like Madison Page and Heavy Rain. Both Zoe and April Ryan from Dreamfall, The Longest Journey.
And you can't forget Jen in Primal.
Oh, yes.
Your favorite one.
God, yes.
If you'd forgotten that.
Jen and Primal.
I'd say Noriko from Heavenly Sword. Mm-hmm. She was pretty cool and willing to do whatever it takes to save her people. So that was cool.
Alrighty. Is that it? No other ones?
I'm sure there is. I just can't think of it.
I'll throw one out, and I can't remember her name right now, but the main character in Emerald City Confidential is also a really, like, just kind of good, like, you know, do-it-yourself sort of.
You know, I've never played these games, but everybody always says Alex from Half-Life is a good one as well. So, interesting. All right. Next question comes to us from Martin. Martin says, with the continued success of games like Pokemon, do we think that a real attempt at an MMO-style collection game could happen, either as a monthly and or microtransaction-style game?
I can imagine someone doesn't have that in development in some way.
Yeah. I mean, some of the kiddie MMOs are kind of already
like in that vein
a little bit. I mean, they're not MMORPGs. They're more collecting things for your house or, you know, things to dress your pet in or, you know, things of that nature. Yeah. So,
although it seems like things that would be like a really good MMO for whatever reason don't work out, like the Sim MMO, which just seemed like the perfect MMO. Sometimes things don't work out too. So,
yeah.
People much less interesting than Will Wright gave them credit for being. That was what he said. It kind of with the Sims Online. He was like, I just thought people would be more entertaining to interact with.
I think the issue with The Sims Online was that The Sims is only fun because you can control everybody.
Yeah.
And in The Sims Online, you're just controlling yourself. Yeah. You're not controlling everybody. So that just takes... That just makes it like Second Life.
That was my first like big like A game review. Sims Online. I think I gave it a 3 out of 5.
Yeah. I reviewed it for Game Now. I gave it a B+. Although in retrospect, I probably would have given it less. Although,
yeah, I'm kind of thinking more 2 out of 5. The only part that I liked about playing The Sims Online was watching. I worked with a guy at Computer Gaming World named Robert Coffey, who was a really incredibly funny, smart, and very twisted man. And he would play MMOs and like just become these like crazy people. And it was always fun watching Robert go in and make people angry in Sims Online.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really easy to piss off some of those people, that's for sure. I never did it, but I saw people come in and they'd just be acting all wacky and goofy and just, you know, I mean, they weren't even being like rude or anything like that. It's just that their sim would just be dancing in the middle of the, you know, room or something, and people
not taking it
out.
Seriously.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of like, chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not going to read this question because we already answered it.
Okay.
And I'm not going to read this question because that's for Jess. Okay.
Questions here.
Next question comes to us from The Skeet. And I think this is a guy. Wants to know, how does IGN stack up with other places in terms of the boys club atmosphere that we have talked about? Better, worse, or the same?
I've never really... Well, I mean, what's the like boys club as far as like... Like, I've never felt excluded.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we work with a bunch of overgrown boys, and I have for the last 10 years. I don't know. It's pretty equivalent to where I've been.
Yeah. I mean, the only place I've worked that wasn't like that was Smart Business Magazine.
Oof, which was... and I will say, I mean, I said what I said sounded dismissive. I love it. I mean, it's I can't imagine going back and working in a real office. I always joke that we should actually, instead of going on vacation, I should go work in a real job for a week, because then I would be really, really happy to come back.
Yeah. You know, for me, I feel like working at Ziff Davis was worse than it is working here. I'm not going to go into too much detail about that, but that seemed to be more of a boys club, quote unquote, than it is here. I feel like I'm much more accepted here and validated. But in the development side of things, it was fine, even though it was basically all guys that I was working with.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
I was never questioned.
I'll clarify my Ziff thing and say that my individual magazines that I worked on when I worked on them were always awesome and a good group of people.
Yeah,
and I very much enjoyed them.
Yeah, so. The individual magazine of Game Now was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
It was kind of the larger culture there. Okay, let's move on. So next question comes to us from Philip. Philip says this is somewhat related to the discussion of the real ID thing that Blizzard was going to do. Mm-hmm. He says he's read a lot of threads full of angry gamers, many girl gamers among them. He says, I realize there are a lot of really harassing guy gamers out there that give us more quiet guy gamers a bad name, but girl gamers seem to be either intentionally very arrogant or just really teasing to guy gamers. He says he can't count the number of times he's seen a girl gamer post something akin to, don't talk to me or send me a friend request, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and while I'm sure they've received plenty of grief from immature guys over time, it still comes off as really arrogant on their part, seemingly setting themselves higher than anyone else. And he wants to know why we think some girl gamers are like
that. Well, here's my response to Phil. I would think that in much the same way that the vocal minority of heckling dudes, I know and recognize and think that, yes, it is a minority of mm-hmm. guys who do this, that it's a minority of women who reply to it by putting up like the talk to the hand sort of messages. God, we should delete that out because that was really really a dorky.
I think I would agree with that. And also too, you know, I mean, some people just don't want to be bothered, period, when they're mm-hmm. playing a game. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with gender.
Right.
You know, at some points.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah.
My preferred way to play an MMO is not interacting with a single person.
This doesn't happen to me because I don't give out my gamer tag anyway, because I'm a pretty private person. Mm-hmm. But in some ways,
I mean, you know, that's just another reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, like, some of these girls, you know, maybe they are like, it comes off like I'm mightier than thou, but at the same time, it is annoying to get spammed constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are hot. I think you are hot. You don't know a picture. You don't even understand what my gamer tag is.
And maybe maybe they've just had to escalate to that point. You know, it's possible they may have started out more mild and that didn't do the
or
trick.
Or they originally ignored them, and then one day they come in their box and there's like all these friends requests with all these weird messages like, you are hot. Are you a girl? Spelled R U letters. And it for some of these girls, it must be, it's just like, you know, if they're posting hot pictures of themselves and then doing the talk to the hand thing, then I can understand. But I think a lot of these girls are just like, I just want to be left alone, like Hello Kitty online, or everyone's going to assume it's a girl. And so all these guys are either going to say something negative or they're going to harass her for a gamer tag and constantly try to talk to her during games. Mm-hmm. And it's probably really annoying. So.
Yeah. And there are a lot of guys out there who don't really get the subtlety.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Or are deliberately obtuse.
Right. Okay, next question comes to us from Mark Keith. Mark Keith? It's like Mark and Keith, but it's all one word.
Okay.
Anyhow, he wants to know, I guess it's a he, what games would you say have been overlooked or underrated this generation?
I don't know why this popped into my head first, but there's a Wii game called Muramasa, which actually was by VanillaWare, and I think that I was kind of disappointed.
Is that the Demon Blade?
Blade game. So it's fine. I mean, some people don't like the fact that VanillaWare games get kind of repetitive, but it seems to be part of their whole kind of zen outlook, where they take a canvas and they try to do things from different angles. But
it's a very pretty game.
It's a very pretty game. It's actually really fun. The controls are really good, especially for a Wii game, because I normally have real problems with the Wii. So I kind of was disappointed that I didn't get more people to play it, because it got a good review on IGN. So
yeah, as far as this generation goes, I can't really think of anything that are among my favorites that haven't gotten at least good critical reviews, even if they maybe haven't sold so well. Last generation, though, I'm going to go back to Primal. Mm-hmm. I think was completely under. I would so love a sequel.
I would say the Sly games last generation.
Yeah.
Those games are awesome. You should really buy the collection when it comes out, because Sony is re-releasing them in a collection for the PS3. Yes. Buy them. And they're great things to play in front of kids, because they're all E-rated, but they're fun. Yeah. They play like Infamous, but it's with cartoons.
Right.
So, anyway. Yep.
Alrighty, we got time for one more. This one comes to us from Samuel. Samuel wants to know how we have changed as gamers over the years, and would the gamers we were back then recognize the gamers that we are now? Would one be ashamed of the other? I've changed a lot. This is actually kind of timely, because I just included that in my editorial on Facebook Games, talking about my evolution as a gamer. And, you know, I basically started out playing in this, you know, latest Okay. So I play games as a kid. Atari, Vectrex, had a big dry spell of games, and then came back right around the time the PS1 came out. And I started off playing Puzzle Fighter, and then like I tried to play Spyro, but it was like in 3D, and I was like, oh, I can't do this. It's so weird. You know?
Right. So many directions to move.
I know. And the, like controlling the camera was just completely foreign to me. And so it took me a while to get my bearings and play games in 3D. And then after that, it was like, oh, these first-person games, I can't control them, like, you know. And then, you know, I had to play Bioshock because I thought it looked really cool. And then, you know, so now I'm playing pretty much anything. Even FPSs don't scare me off. I wouldn't be ashamed of my old gaming self. I think my old gaming self would be pretty damn impressed with what I'm able to do now. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just playing puzzle games, there's nothing wrong with that, so...
I know that my old gaming self, which was not a gamer, would be shocked. I mean, I think I've told the story on this podcast before. Right before I got a job working in this industry, and I was at the Sony store with my brothers, and you know, couldn't get past. I died on my way to the training area in a Star Wars flight game. I mean, because the controller was so stupid, confusing. And then, and 2.5 years later, I was working on the official PlayStation magazine. So if you'd told the woman sitting in the Sony store dying that this would be my job in 2.5 years, I would have laughed and laughed and laughed. I would actually say that the way that I've probably changed the most, like in the past couple of years, you know, having worked with primarily guys. And there tends to be a bit of an elitism as far as like what's acceptable to like and what's not acceptable to like, you know. And there are the cool games, and you know, the cool games are usually shooters and other things, and you know, not always shooters, but the acceptable games. But then there's a whole, you know, the lower class of games, which are often games targeted at women and stuff. And so it's easy to kind of go along with the mindset.
Some of those lower class games I actually think are better than some of the ones that.
And I would say that's,
for example, Harvest Moon, awesome. I love it more than Halo.
Yeah. And well, and that's so that's
take
the
that
thing.
Halo.
That is the thing that I think that has changed the most for me is not dismissing a game based on something. And I would actually say most of the guys that I work with, that would be their biggest failing as coworkers, is the tendency to dismiss something just based on the exterior packaging or what kind of game it is without and not giving that stuff a shot.
It's sort of weird because I've come full circle. When I was little, and there was only a limited choice of games you could play, so we had the original Nintendo Entertainment System, and so my younger brother would get most of the games, so I'd be playing things like Tecmo Bowl and Excitebike and California Games. I'd play like you know, even like shooters or, you know, like Contra or something like that. So I had a really wide range of games. And then when I got to high school, all I played when I played, which wasn't very often, was like JRPGs only. For a long time, it was only JRPGs. Big surprise. And so when I started working at IGN, I sort of had to get reacquainted with everything all over again. And so at first I was like, oh, I don't want to play these games like Prince of Persia and God of War. And now I'm kind of going back. The only thing that hasn't really changed is that I no longer can play sports games. They're too complex. It used to be like Tecmo Bowl was an awesome, fun game to play. And now football games like Madden are just like incomprehensible to me. I don't know or understand stats. I'm not actually John Madden, you know, so I can't tell you, you know, I listen to him on 740. Yeah, I listen to him every morning on 740, a local station here, but I can't tell you anything about that. I used to play wrestling games because I used to be a huge wrestling fan. Now, again, it's got all these choices and career modes and story modes. I have no idea what the heck is going on.
I don't play sports games, but that's because I don't give a rat about sports.
They used to be fun. I used to play Double Dribble and all the ice hockey games and everything. Yeah. And now it's just like, it's so complex where I'm like, if I don't actually know the ins and outs of the sport, I feel like I can't play them. And like, they're not approachable anymore. Right. And that's kind of no fun. So things like that have definitely changed to the point where I don't play them anymore, which is too bad because I used to have a lot of fun playing those games with my little brother.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Alrighty, well, we're going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks so much for listening. You can send questions to us at IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. And we will be back next week to record a regular episode, but the PAX panel is also happening next week. So the following week, the podcast will be the PAX panel and not a specially recorded one.
Did everybody get all that?
Yeah. And then also coming up, I believe it's the week right after that, is TGS.
Oh, right.
At which I will be in Japan, as will Jessica and Christine.
So no.
So I'm doubting we'll do a podcast.
Yeah. That would just be me. So. You guys could do a Tokyo version.
Right. All you know Japanese. What? The company's not paying to send me there. So.
Oh,
I'm
that's right. Yeah. No, you shouldn't do any fun. Work yeah. stuff.
Nice.
That's right.
So yeah, thanks so much for listening, and hopefully we'll see a lot of you at PAX, and we'll be back.
Remember,
next week.
Serpent Theater, 8 p.m. Friday. Dudes.